that is the hymn we're going to be taking a look at it on this Rumination Tuesday, October the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me is my good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Can you believe it's October already?
Oh, well, luckily I bought Christmas presents in June.
Well, I tell you, I just can't believe how the months fly now these days.
Not only the months fly, but all the activities in the world. We were talking about the hurricanes, of course, and then yesterday in Las Vegas. So I was wondering if you'd be willing to have a prayer in regard to these events.
Certainly.
Go ahead.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed and Holy Trinity, we beseech you, O Lord, for the poor people. We think, first of all, of the people along the coast still really recovering from the terrible Hurricane Harvey along the Texas coast and Louisiana. And then, of course, the hurricane that struck Florida so horribly, and particularly Puerto Rico was so devastated. We pray for these poor people, Lord. We pray that you would enable our nation, our own communities, our own church body to assist these people in any way possible. And of course, we think of the terrible death and mayhem that took place in Las Vegas, O Lord. Be with all those families that are stricken in any way, either by injury or by loss of a loved one. We pray for your healing. We pray for healing for our nation. We pray for peace. We pray for unity, which, of course, comes only through, really, best through Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.
Thank you very much. I'm preaching today here at the International Center. I already did it at 8:30 and then again at 10. And one of the points I make, we're living in a country, and I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity, if something bad happens at a school, like a shooting or something, and they send in counselors, the counselors are not permitted to say the name Jesus or anything about Christianity.
And that's really sad because, you know,
there is no comfort anywhere else.
Yeah, well, exactly. And he is the great restorer of peace and unity.
Did you hear where the comfort is coming from for some people? They look to what happened in Las Vegas, and they're comforted by the fact that they can now start talking about gun control again.
Yeah.
Not even taking one day for grieving. Others,
and that causes division right away.
Oh,
right,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's... the other thing is that they get comfort about, and this is true, how courageous were the groups there, the police, etc., in stopping the shooting and then getting people to ambulances or to the hospital, this sort of thing.
And indeed, there was some real heroism in connection with it.
But in contrast to the comfort that comes from the Christian faith, boy,
yeah,
it just falls.
Right.
Yeah, so...
And people ask, you know, people ask, how can a human being become so deranged that they can wreak this type of havoc? Well, you know, when you don't have Christ,
Oh, yeah.
And His Holy Spirit living in you, there's all sorts of evil spirits out there that can... I mean, you're either in Christ's kingdom or in your kingdom of Satan.
Excellent.
One or the other.
Yes. Now... Way back in Texas, remember there was that shooter from the tower?
Yes, 1966.
Excellent. They found he had a brain tumor.
Uh-huh.
But whether or not that was the cause or whatever, it never surprises me that these things happen because of original sin.
Right.
I mean, German people are very good people. I come from them. But many of them became Nazis.
Yeah.
And they weren't born in the sense of hating Jews, but they learned because of Adolf Hitler, and they thought they were being loyal to the government and this kind of thing. I don't think anybody is absent from the most cruel kinds of things that can occur. I mean, how many times you're driving down the street and somebody cuts you off and you just think for a minute, well,
oh, yes.
Why'd you do that?
Yeah, the old Adam, even people that
Yes.
You know, believe in Jesus Christ, the old Adam is
absolutely
is quick to rise up in us.
And so we ought not be surprised that congregations fall away from the truth.
Right. Pastors.
Oh, you know. Pastors. I mean, just be listen. I'm looking forward to this weekend to see the kind of nonsense we're going to read in the Post-Dispatch about this. I mean, in fact, on tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be talking about this for Insight Wednesday. The promo talks about, and I don't want to talk about it right now, but why did God forsake those in Las Vegas? But we won't say anything about that until tomorrow.
Right.
We need to get to the hymn. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high. If you'd read the first stanza,
please. And it is a beautiful, glorious hymn. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortal sake.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody not long ago, and I was talking about how Christianity is totally ridiculous.
Okay, explain yourself real quickly, Tom.
No, I don't have to do it real quickly. We've got 20 minutes.
People don't like to hear that Christianity connection with the word ridiculous, though.
Sure, but that's even...
It's not ridiculous.
Oh, it's absolutely
ridiculous.
Okay,
explain yourself.
Okay. You have a wife and a son.
Absolutely.
Okay. One day you're gone from home and your son, your wife ends up, an intruder comes into the house and beats her up. And so they catch the person who does it.
Yes.
And you go to court.
Yes.
And he's found guilty of doing it and he's sentenced to 10 years in jail. So you stand up and say, Judge, would you be so kind as to send my son to jail in his place.
I see.
Is that ridiculous?
Yeah. From a human viewpoint.
That's my point. When we say Christianity is ridiculous, we're always talking from a human viewpoint.
Right.
But ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't like that word ridiculous. Oh. Unbelievable isn't even good because we believe it.
No.
But what's a better word than ridiculous? Astonishing?
No, because all religions are astonishing.
Baffling?
Muslim is baffling.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, oh great one. Ridiculous. Your word, not mine.
And the reason I say that is because look how many people are trying to use reason to get people to believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
They can't.
No.
It's ridiculous.
No.
That's what I mean by that. So, I mean, okay, I'm going to give you a few pieces of bread and some fish, and we've got 5,000 people to feed. Can you do it?
That's ridiculous.
Thank you. So, and if you start at that point of view, then you're going to use the word of God and the gospel, the means of grace, to convince somebody, not reason or rationalism or this kind of thing, because... Mm-hmm. I'd also say that Christianity is totally irrational.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Thank you.
That's probably the best way of saying it. It just does not make common sense anyway.
Well, I think a synonym for not making sense is ridiculous. Okay. The question I asked, what does it mean love is deep, broad, and high? Why are those words used?
Well, because it's unfathomable.
No, I understand that, but why are the specific words used?
Well, I think, how deep? Deeper. It seems like there's a song or something. Deeper than the ocean.
Yes, excellent. And then how broad? As far as the...
East is from the west.
Excellent. And how high?
High as the sky.
As the sky. Thank you very
reaching
much.
Reaching to the heavens.
Yeah, reaching to the heavens.
Beyond all thought and fantasy.
Yes.
Can't even, you know, we couldn't even dream this up.
No.
It's beyond our wildest dreams. The gospel is beyond our wildest dreams, that God would love us so much that he enters this world and puts on human flesh. I mean, who would have dreamed that up?
No.
It's got to be divine. Divinely conveyed.
Do you know a synonym for beyond fantasy? Ridiculous.
Okay.
Why? What's ridiculous is that God the Son should take our mortal form, and the next part is really critical, for mortal's sake. What does that mean?
Well, our mortal form for our sake.
That's right.
You know what's interesting about this hymn? It could just as easily be named for us as we get on to the later verses.
Very good. For us,
he baptized. For us, he bore. Everything's for us.
Yes.
It's all for us.
In fact, that's the distinction between historic faith, which the Pharisees had. They believed the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And saving faith has a for us in it.
Yes. It's for us is key.
Yes. You take the for us out, you just have a historical document.
Right.
I'll read two. He sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. The best verse for that is Revelation chapter 5, where a strong angel, you know, cannot save anybody.
No.
And
he had to be the Lamb.
Who was slain.
Who was slain, right. He's the only one that could open that book of seven seals.
Because he is the only one worthy enough, because he took upon himself the punishment that you and I deserved.
Right.
And so, boy, stanza three.
Here we go. Look at all these. Count all the for us's here.
Okay.
For us baptized, for us he bore his holy fast and hungered sore. For us temptation sharp he knew. For us the tempter overthrew.
There's four of them right there.
Yeah, and there's plenty more.
See, this is what makes Lutheran theology the pinnacle of theology, because it is all about Jesus. In fact,
that's the theme of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
How did
it's still all about Jesus.
Yeah. I gone to Sam's today to get gas. $2.07. That's pretty good.
Wow.
After I did the devotion. Because once I do a devotion, the gas comes down. Anyway, I'm driving out of the Sam's lot, go onto the highway over to here, and I see this big billboard. Have you seen it?
No.
It's KFUO.
Oh, is it? Oh, really?
A huge
Where's it
billboard.
Located?
You come out of Sam's.
Yeah, over here.
On 44.
Yeah.
Don't you get on 44 to come here?
No.
Oh, yeah, you go straight down, yeah, and turn on Lindbergh. You got to see this. You only see it going west, but it is all about Christ, it says.
Uh-huh.
Something along
Still all about Jesus. That's the theme.
It doesn't say Jesus, it says Christ.
Okay, well, Christ too.
But it's really well done.
Uh-huh, I'll have to look at that.
And that's the second billboard I've ever seen, because the first one I put up 10 years ago at the airport.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes.
Caused a lot of accidents.
Oh, boy. No, I didn't have my picture on it. I had yours on it. Okay. Stanza four.
For us he prayed, for us he taught, for us his daily works he wrought, by words and signs and actions thus, for us, still seeking not himself, but us. It's all about what he did for us.
Yes. The for us again, you have a whole bunch of times. Now remember, this gentleman, Thomas a Kempis, died in 1471.
It's attributed to him, yeah.
Just a few years after Luther.
No, before Luther.
No, no. Luther died in 1546. So 1471, wrote this?
Yeah, about 75 years before Luther died.
Well,
can you imagine that?
No.
Can you imagine he wrote that in
1471?
Yeah.
That's before Luther was born.
I know.
I hadn't noticed that. So, you see, there were reformers.
Absolutely.
Now, he's in England, though.
Yes.
Thomas a Kempis. But you can't get more Lutheran than this.
Oh, I know.
No, this is really tremendous.
You must have known John Huss.
John Huss?
Yes.
Yes.
He was about 100 years before Luther. He was, you know.
The guy who was
one of the pre-reformers.
Martyred.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, no. This is why the Lutheran confessions keep quoting the church fathers, etc., because Lutheranism isn't anything new.
No, they're just taking us back to the foundations is all it is.
Of the scripture, and you can find it throughout the church fathers here and again and again. I'm glad you saw that, the for us's, how many there are. So I'll let you read stanza 5.
For us, by wickedness betrayed, for us in crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death. For us, he gave his dying breath.
You know, I'm going to remember this hymn because, you know, one of my favorite questions, and I did this at a congregation recently, I said, if you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, will you go to heaven? And they all said yes. I said, no, you'll go straight to hell.
Oh, Tom, you shock people.
That's the point. I love shocking people.
Yes, I know.
I was shocked. And I said,
one of these days you're going to have people get up out of the pew and walk out at something like that. Now, you got to be careful with that a little bit.
It's never happened. Okay. In fact, when I had my doctorate, Professor Manteuffel was one of my professors who was questioning me. And he was a member of my congregation. Just tremendous professor and theologian. And I was making the point in my doctoral examination that I like asking questions to get people confused. And one of the professors asked him, does this not make the class kind of angry at Tom and they don't want to listen? And he looked at him and said, surprisingly, no, it never happens. Because I come back real quick.
Yes.
With the answer that nobody gets saved by believing he died on the cross. But if you believe he died on the cross,
For us.
Yeah, that for us is really good. That's what makes saving faith different than historic faith.
Right.
And this is why I'm doing the Sunday school lesson today. We're going to go much further, as we always do, and the CPH material often does, in just talking about the story or the event. But it always has the for us in there somehow. And that's the whole point of Law and Gospel.
Well, this could be your theme hymn right here.
Yeah, I had never really thought
of that. For us, for us.
Well,
there's some more in verse 6.
Well, before you get to that, I could say, yeah, I knew this is a great hymn because his name is the same as mine.
Thomas.
Thank you.
That's ridiculous.
I knew I'd get you going on this one. Stanza 6, please, Mark.
Okay. For us he rose from death again. For us he went on high to reign. For us he sent his spirit here to guide, to strengthen, and to cheer. Look at that. He's got Easter. He's got the Ascension. He's got Pentecost all there in that one verse, in those three lines. Think of that.
That's amazing.
For us.
Yes. Yes. So, we don't believe you have to be a Lutheran to get to heaven, because Thomas of Kempis is going to heaven, and he was probably Anglican at that time.
Right.
I don't know if that had come about by then or not. I can't remember. Maybe he was still Roman Catholic. But be that as it may, this is a tremendous Bible-focused hymn all about Jesus. And I've often said, being Lutheran, there are going to be people who were Lutheran who don't go to heaven because they're called hypocrites. And there are plenty of people who aren't Lutheran who are going to heaven because they hold to this for us when it really gets down to it. That's really a good insight that you had there, that for us. And how each one, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and Pentecost. And what's that last line in verse 6? Because that's the whole purpose of every sermon.
To guide, to strengthen, and to cheer.
Yeah. That's why if you don't do that in a sermon or even in a Bible study, you've missed the boat.
Right.
Yeah.
And either the preacher's not doing his job or the people are not listening, one or the other.
Oh, is that what happens at your congregation? They don't listen?
Oh, they listen.
Yes.
They listen, sure.
Yeah, I always enjoy doing these kind of Bible studies. Now, in a sermon, you're correct. I'm a little bit more careful. I was at a church where they had the pulpit up in the air.
Oh, yes, I've seen those. I bet you love those, don't you? Oh,
no.
Great one.
It takes forever to get up there.
Those are neat. There's one down in Perry County, I remember, where he comes right out of the wall. You know, he goes up the stairs in the back, and the pulpit comes right out of the wall.
I know.
And boy, if that doesn't give you an ego, I don't know what will.
Pastor Kurowski my co-pastor, tremendous pastor, was a little late in arriving at a church he had never been at. And when it came time to preach, he couldn't find the pulpit.
Oh, wow.
Because you got to it from going outside.
Yeah, you had to go outside.
Yes. He saw it up there, but he didn't know how to get to it. But I was in that pulpit, and I was doing a sermon on Matthew, you know, pluck out your eye, cut off your hand. And I actually had an ice pick and an axe.
Oh, boy.
And I was trying to make the point that who wants to obey this?
You'll be remembered. You'll be long remembered. Oh, yeah, that's the preacher that brought the axe into the pulpit. Yes.
Well, what happened, I didn't realize this, it was being televised.
Oh.
And to this day, I always worry, maybe somebody heard the first part and didn't hear the gospel part, you know, and who knows, had to leave for an appointment or something. And so I always check to see if I'm being televised.
Yes, I think that's wise.
Being wise, stands the seven. And it has a triangle in front of it.
Right. It's a doxological verse.
Which means?
Well, it talks about the whole Trinity, and you stand for it. All glory to our Lord and God for love so deep, so high, so broad. The Trinity whom we adore forever and forevermore.
Boy, that is a really good hymn.
It is a beautiful hymn. It's beautiful to sing, too.
Are you going to be using it this Sunday?
Oh, definitely.
Have you decided what you're preaching on?
I'm still working on that. I think it might be the epistle.
From Philippians chapter 3.
Yeah, that's really one of the...
Oh, this is...
This is... It concludes the Philippians passage.
Yeah. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law.
Right.
But that which comes through faith in Christ. Talk about Lutheran.
Yes.
So Paul was a Lutheran.
Oh.
Yes, absolutely. We have to leave early because...
You're preaching.
I am preaching right now. So I think it would be appropriate, while we wait for the end of the program, that you can continue to hear the whole hymn.
Absolutely.
Again.
People will love to hear it. It's a beautiful hymn.
All right. And here we go.
Yeah. Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.